have been back home to Toledo, is it?
Oh, yeah.
I shouldn't say this, you'll say I'm very conceited because I'm not. But other than the blonde hair when I was growing up, they said I looked like Elvis. You see, did you believe me? I always considered that a great compliment.
You're listening to
K-Lon,
home of the apocalypse. The call and question of the day is, who will be the new king? I'm sending in an ICBM across the wasteland for all of you on the yellow brick road to Vegas looking for a hero. If you find one, send it my way, baby.
It's showtime, folks.
The name Elvis Presley is becoming a household word one way or the other.
is Elvis Presley's Cadillac. And we just thought you might be interested in seeing a little bit about what this car really entails. All of this that I'm pointing to now, everything is done in a gold motif. And all of the metal trim, for example, is actually 24 karat gold plated. Dig this. Shoeshine. This is a television set, obviously, which can be turned to accommodate any one of the passengers here in the back seat. This is a refrigerator, an honest-to-goodness refrigerator, where refreshments or what have you can be kept. And here, as an adjunct to the refrigerator, is an ice maker. This is a record player, 45 RPM record player, and I can't quite figure this one out because you stick the records in there somehow or another, and it sort of seems upside down, but it does work. You can see that when Elvis travels, he travels in a great deal of style, comfort, and convenience.
He was born in Mississippi on a cold and windy day, and the music that he gave to us will never fade away. Born to sing, we crowned him king. He touched a billion souls. His name was Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll.
He took his band up north to Nashville, but they didn't treat him well. They said rockabilly music was never gonna sell.
It wasn't long, he proved them wrong and sold out every show. 'Cause his name was Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll. Forever he shall be.
King, because kings were good and kings were strong and kings were the best of everything. Would you like to be a king?
I would.
You would, huh?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, he worked and he worked and he worked so hard to be a king, and never let go of it in his mind. All the time he kept thinking, I'm going to be king, I'm going to be king, I'm going to be king. But he was still a baby. Because really only babies want to be kings. Because No, not yet. He wasn't a king yet. But he wanted to be king. Because kings are good. And kings are strong. And kings are the best of everything. So a stranger came up to the baby. And a stranger said, "Follow me, and I'll make you a king." And he did. And the baby became a king. And for one real bright, shiny moment, he was happy.
But it wasn't enough. He was addicted to the love he felt from you on stage. Ordinary love just didn't compare. So, in the lonely moments between shows, he turned up. Allow me to show you.
What do you think is the greatest country and western singer alive today?
I like Sonny James.
My point, please.
We're only a couple like Mario Lunch.
Here we go.
All
right, Steve.
They have rid of Bill.
Okay. 10:02.
What kind of music do you listen to outside of the country and western?
Punk.
Hmm. But I hear rumors.
Everywhere.
That colonel is an alien.
I just read him that I left there. Out there around my rocket ship. Since I was a baby, I've been doing this. I was, just a infant baby. No, I was doing the same thing. They could put diapers on it.
This is after the show.
My mother said, "Boom, you still."
Yeah.
It all at one time.
There is no room in this city for the vulgar performances of Elvis Presley.
It's shocking. I watched him gyrate his legs and swivel his hips. And our parent teachers group feels he should not be on television.
We've set up a 20-man committee to do away with this vulgar, animalistic, nigger rock and roll bop. Our committee will check with restaurant owners and the cafes to see what Presley Records is on their machines, and then ask them to do away with it.
Rock and roll has got to go. And go it does at KWK. We're all through playing rock and roll records. This week is record-breaking week here at KWK. And after this week, no more rock and roll will be played on the air.
The obscenity and vulgarity of the rock and roll music is obviously a means by which the white man and his children can be driven to the level with a nigger. It is obviously nigger music.
It's our feeling here in Jersey City that this rock and roll rhythm is filled with dynamite, and we don't want the dynamite to go off in the Roosevelt Stadium in Jersey City.
My department made a very thorough investigation of these so-called programs.
Thursday.
We find that these programs are not for the good of the community, and that's why I ordered them banned.
Elvis! Come on over. Isn't that incredible? Go ahead, you got to put on a microphone there, Elvis, or Andy, or whatever the heck your name is. So if you don't mind, Andy, Elvis, whatever, I'm going to forget about Andy Kaufman, and I'm just going to talk to Elvis Presley,
it's
okay?
Found me.
What was that again, sir?
It's found me.
I have quite a few friends in Tupelo where I was born and raised, and I've gotten them anything that I think they might want.
How do you feel about your fans?
Oh, I just wish there was some way that you could go around to every one of them.
All right, 10:04.
Show that you appreciate, for their lack of money. Mm-hmm. But it's impossible, really. Lots of times they have a crowd on the door, maybe 300 or 400 of them, crowd on the stage door, and you have to sign a few autographs and close the door, and you'll leave, because maybe the people want to close up the auditorium or something like that. It makes them very bad because they can't get tall. And they kids of all ages.
Don't know where to dance step, but I knew. No one else can love me like you do. I don't know why my heart flips. I only know it does. I don't know why I love you, babe. I guess it's just because you're so square.
Fuddly duddly.
Oh, fuddly duddly.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Baby, I don't care. Baby, I don't care. Baby, I don't care.
What?
Baby, I don't care.
The world's only topless lady band. Lady topless band.
Hello, Colonel. Did you know he's loose again?
You know, Elvis Presley once said that of all of the Elvis imitators, the one that he enjoyed the most is our guest, Andy Kaufman.
Now the old man, Parker, is going to see what's going on here.
Take 2007.
Roll him in.
Y'all stop and do far on in. What did I get ready to say to me?
Do you want earphones, Bobby?
So easy.
Right here. Over the wall.
You got into something maybe that I knew was so easy. Elvis Presley Productions.
Enterprise.
Well, that's not anymore. Last year in 55, I was, my manager was Bob, who was a disc jockey in Memphis. And we organized Elvis Presley Enterprise.
Alright. Second half's alright. The first one, I gotta give you better. No.
I got a call from Elvis.
Promise you'll be.
Stop this show.
We were on tour in Louisville, Kentucky.
Well, I heard somebody say that you weren't taking very good care of yourself and you were crowding around and didn't know where you were going.
Elvis was there.
Carstel.
Your eyes. Oh, baby, I don't care. Oh, baby, I don't care. Oh, baby, I don't care. Oh, baby, I don't care.
Elvis's girlfriend, Ginger Alden, didn't want to go on tour with him. Ginger was just 21 and not prepared to bow to his every demand. Something Elvis was used to, even during his doomed marriage to Priscilla.
Let's make one morning play the last two. Without your love.
Over the years, his Memphis mafia had supplied him with a string of compliant girls. The 16th of August, 1977. Elvis was restless. He told Ginger he was going to read in the bathroom.
Don't.
The song's gonna make me a nervous wreck.
Don't. Leave feel that way. I just. I know. I this way.
Start over, I'm sorry.
My hand begins, and I won't believe you. Baby, don't say no.
Martin, good idea. Get your hand back in
there. Baby, don't say no. Don't.
We're not looking for easy work. You want us to do it that way? Get Pat Boone in here quick.
Ask me if hold it.
I mean, nothing real big.
I might miss this one part here where it says Wonderland.
The reason I'm delighted about doing this is I would probably never, ever, ever get the opportunity to interview Elvis. But as long as I have Elvis here, may I ask you a kind of a personal question, Elvis? You don't mind?
No, go ahead.
How come you don't give more interviews?
Well, I'll tell you, I'd love to give more interviews. I'd love to see everybody, but this is what my manager says, that if he was to let everybody, one person get an interview, then everybody else wants to get an interview, and you can't have that happen.
You know, I've always kind of had a feeling that deep down, one reason why I don't give the interviews is that even though you're obviously much at home on a stage with thousands of people yelling, way underneath all that glitter and gold and everything else, kind of a shy Elvis. Are you?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, back in high school, I was kind of like the shy guy in my class, you know. Then I became a singer, and I'll tell you something. When I get up on that stage, some people say they don't recognize me. I'm a different person. When I get up on that stage, I want to just sing, I want to dance around, and I just feel completely different. It's really good. But when I'm off stage, I guess you can't say in a way that I'm kind of shy.
And when you started singing, did you have an image? Were you the kind of a guy, some of these superstars, as you are, you know that?
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Sure. You feel comfortable as a superstar?
Well, as a matter of fact, I like it very much.
All right.
Okay. Elvis goes to the dentist in search of prescription drugs.
Hard still.
Including morphine, Demerol, Placidol, Valium, codeine, ethanamide, quaaludes, and antidepressants.
We're rolling.
You mean the whole thing?
The rhythm was getting off.
I mean big, man.
You're so young.
We're rolling.
Okay.
Beyond the bend, take one.
At ease.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Elvis had turned into the Colonel's own cash cow.
Still rolling.
Okay, here we go.
Take one.
We're rolling. One, two, two.
Fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty Hi-Yo Silver, the Lone Ranger. This is the legend of the Lone Ranger and the Colonel's Son. When the Lone Ranger and Toto heard Indian war drums, they followed the sound until they reached the top of a hill. In the valley below, they could see a renegade Indian named Crazy Wolf and 200 painted savages. Bushes concealed the masked man and Toto from the Indians.
Drums say, Indians attack at dawn.
The people in Osage must be warned. At the same time, we must get word to Colonel Ames at the fort. We'll split up, Toto. Take this silver bullet to the fort. Colonel Ames will recognize it and know that I sent you. Tell him this is his chance to capture Crazy Wolf. I'll ride through Eagle Pass and warn the people in Osage to be ready for an attack. Easy, steady, big come on.
Be ready. Come on, Silver.
Come on, scout.
Night had gathered and a full moon was rising when the Lone Ranger reached the entrance to Eagle Pass. Between the towering rocky walls, a soldier stood and signaled a halt.
Oh, boy, steady, easy now.
The soldier advanced, holding his rifle ready to fire.
What's the trouble, soldier? Steady, big fella. You're a long way from the fort.
I've been scouting. My horse went lame. That's why I must take yours. I missed.
Yes, but I'm no outlaw, and I'm not a horse thief.
No matter who you are, mister, I'm borrowing your horse as an emergency. I must locate those Indian war drums.
They're in Crazy Wolf's encampment.
What? Crazy Wolf?
He and his men are in a valley just below the Twin Peaks. They plan to attack Osage at daybreak. I'm on my way through the pass to warn the town. What's your name, soldier?
Sergeant Ames.
Ames? Your father's a colonel at the fort. That's why you look familiar to me.
You know my father?
Yes.
And you know he's one of the toughest officers in the army. As his son, I'd have to be a hero before he'd recommend me for a commission as a second lieutenant.
You sound bitter.
I'm sorry, but I must take your horse to get back to the fort with the news of Crazy Wolf.
My Indian friend Tonto is on his way to the fort now with the information.
Tonto? And you called your horse Silver. Well, you must be the Lone Ranger.
Yes.
My father has often spoken of you. Tell me, won't the Indians reach Osage ahead of the troopers?
Probably. That's why I must warn the people. They must be ready to make a stand.
Maybe I can delay the Indians.
Single-handed?
I've plenty of ammunition, and there's a natural fortification on the ledge overlooking this gap. I'll open fire before the Redskins reach the pass. I'll get some of them.
Unless you're very fortunate, it will mean your life. But you may save many others. Good luck. Easy, steady, big fella, easy.
After the Lone Ranger had gone, Sergeant Ames climbed to the top of the cliff at the entrance to Eagle Pass and waited until 3 o'clock in the morning. Then the savages appeared. They came out of the hills riding hard toward the canyon that would take them straight to Osage.
Unless they're stopped, they'll kill the Lone Ranger and everyone in Osage. They'll kill the Lone Ranger. I must slow them down.
One man against 200 Indians. The soldier knew he could not last long against such odds, even though he was in a well-fortified place. He leveled his rifle, aimed at Crazy Wolf, and fired.
I dropped him!
In his latter years, Elvis embarked on a punishing touring schedule, organized by his manager, Colonel Tom Parker.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. My face is pleasant to be here and welcome to the
You're starting off right, I tell you.
All day is a ride. All day, what you have done.
Shooting Crazy Wolf, the Indian leader, Lance Ames kept firing from the ledge as fast as he could load and pull the trigger. Several Indians fell. The others didn't know that just one man guarded the narrow entrance to Eagle Pass. Instead of entering the pass, they turned their horses aside, leaped to the ground, and took shelter behind rocks. Ames knew that every moment he could delay the Indians added to the hope that his father, the Colonel, would arrive with troops in time to save the town of Osage and the Lone Ranger. The Lone Ranger had warned the people in Osage and was on his way back through Eagle Pass when he heard the gunfire. He urged Silver to top speed.
Come on, Silver! Faster, big fella, faster!
When he rounded a turn in the canyon, he could see the opening ahead. He drew rein.
Oh, Silver! Oh, easy, steady, big fella!
The masked man saw Sergeant Ames making his brave fight against the heavy odds. Leaving Silver, the Lone Ranger climbed the rocky wall to the canyon's rim. As he ran, crouching low toward Sergeant Ames, he saw the soldier drop his gun and slump to the ground. He drew his guns and opened fire at the Indian. Then he picked up the army rifle, loaded it, and fired some more. The Lone Ranger was able, between shots, to learn that Sergeant Ames was still alive. When the supply of ammunition ran low, the masked man fired more cautiously. After what seemed an eternity, a bugle sounded in the background of the gunfire. The Lone Ranger looked across the plain. He breathed a prayer of thanks at what he saw in the bright moonlight. The soldiers were coming out of the hills from behind the Indians in a column of twos, with Tonto riding beside the colonel in the lead. While the masked man watched, the troopers changed formation. Some turned to the right, others to the left. They fanned out to a wide front as the bugle sounded charge. Many of the renegades were cut down by withering gunfire. The others, realizing that it was a hopeless fight, surrendered. While the soldiers were making prisoners of the Indians, the Lone Ranger quickly examined the sergeant's wound, then quietly hurried along the canyon rim and down the wall to the place where Silver waited. He mounted and rode to the mouth of the canyon, where Tonto stood with Colonel Ames.
Oh, easy, silly big fella.
The colonel shook hands with the masked man and said,
thanks to the timely information you sent by Tonto, we have rounded up every one of these renegades.
I'm glad to hear it, Colonel. Oh, what about Crazy Wolf?
He's dead. Apparently he was shot by someone stationed on that ledge above.
Him say people are Osage.
Oh, is that so?
Indeed it is. He made a glorious stand. He held these Indians out of Eagle Pass till we got here.
Hey, Colonel!
Hit man on ledge.
The men I sent to see who fought these Indians. Yes, he's someone there.
It's your own son, Colonel. It's the sergeant.
Wait, my son.
He's wounded, but it's not serious.
His heroic stand should win him a commission and a medal for bravery.
Yes. Yes, I think you're right.
Otto, we better ride through Eagle Pass and tell the people in Osage that Crazy Wolf will not attack.
Ah, not good news.
Many thanks to both of you.
We'll meet again, Colonel. Easy, said every
close. Come on, easy, fella.
Monsilve!
Let's go!
Well, Colonel Ames, it looks like your son is the man of the hour.
He was called a hero, Captain. Called a hero by the Lone Ranger.
Colonel.
Hmm?
Elvis is here.
Oh, my boy.
Admiral, how are you?
Oh, my boy, I should have come down to see you. But I'm a little laid up, you know.
Just had a heart attack. You're not meant to get out of bed.
Heart attack? Colonel, send your back a bit.
My heart just stopped, is all. And I said, I put my back out. It was all the excitement about the Christmas special, you see. That should never have worked, because you came through like you always do. Nobody can sell a show to an audience like you.
This voice is that of Paul Wilder talking with Colonel Tom Parker, manager for Elvis Presley. Since you're his manager, you're probably in the best position to speak about his financial affairs. Is he saving his money, or is he spending it, or how is he handling it?
Well, Elvis makes a good deal of money.
That's what we owe the colonel.
And when he gets paid, he takes it home to his father, his mother. Their financial setup actually is no concern of mine more than I know that they're very level-headed people. I do not manage his financial affairs, however.
How could we be broke?
And I know that he's banking his money and doing the best he knows how, and he gets some pretty good advice at home from friends in the banking business and whatever you may call insurance. And so far, he is living no more than any artist of his caliber on the road. He doesn't draw excessive money from us. He doesn't ask for great advances. And I, as far as I know, there's been many statements made about him buying 4 Cadillacs, but they failed to mention that 2 of the Cadillacs are used on tour for his band and equipment. One of them his father and mother uses, and the other one is used by Elvis. We travel.
Do you have a Lincoln too now?
Well, when he was bought the Lincoln, he also turned in a Cadillac. So he still has the same amount of cars.
Does he have any other investments outside of his own show?
Not that I know of.
I read that he grossed $1 million or more a year. Is that an approximation that's anywhere near correct?
Well, whoever made the statement, I'd like to meet him and show me where the money is. Because we've never received that kind of money so far.
Has he grossed over $500,000 in
nope.
a year?
No.
That's a high figure?
I don't know how you mean that. If you talk about grossing, there's a lot of people making money on Elvis Presley that we don't know about. Magazines are selling a lot of magazines on account of Elvis Presley, but we don't participate in those receipts.
Well, I understand that for breakfast he eats as many as 8 eggs. The other night he ordered 3 chicken for dinner, and is a heavy eater. after he gets through his show. Can you kind of give me any figures on the spectacular meal you saw him eat?
When you tell me that he ordered 3 chickens, you fail to remind me that there was 4 fellas with him eating the 3 chickens.
Oh. How about on a regular meal, though?
I haven't seen anything abnormal about his eating.
Not normal, but he expends a great deal of energy, and it we expected that he would eat.
I think Elvis eats less than anyone that I know of that puts as much into his work.
Well, how much does he eat? I'm not asking.
Well, I don't know how much he eats.
How about for breakfast? Have you ever seen him eat breakfast?
He eats bacon and eggs.
And you know,
I have never seen him eat more than 2 eggs.
Oh, go on.
One most. You say, go on, you're asking me, I'm telling you.
Okay.
I haven't seen him. Usually eats 1 egg, 2 eggs at the most. I've seen him eat breakfast probably 100 times. I have never seen him eat more than 2 eggs.
How often does he eat?
I imagine.
Whenever he can, or?
I think when he gets hungry, he eats.
How does he keep his strength up on these long tours? Does he take any vitamins or any special?
Not that I know of.
Well, is it true that he's exhausted at the end of each performance?
Well, I think so. And to him on the stage, it's a fast pace. But he can bounce right back for another show within 10 or 15 minutes. And I saw the reaction this boy received from the people. And I knew I could help him with many things. I think Presley was a star from the first day he ever started going into show business. I think anyone could have helped him that knows something about show business.
What do you think your greatest value has been to him? What has been your greatest
value? I think my experience and in a small way handling his future with making contracts where perhaps someone would offer a certain amount of money, and I thought this artist was worth more, and I held out for my price. I've lost some deals, but I gained some others by waiting.
How about the promotion of him? Has he been his own best promoter, or has there been some additional help given?
I think the press, radio, his public, fans, himself, friends around him, people, his relations. I think there's no way to pinpoint how much they contributed. His records, the RCA Victor people have done a great deal for this boy. I think they've done more than anyone else to exploit his talents all over the world.
RCA Victor.
Yes. And
did you get him that contract? Or
yes, I did. And the first recording company.
How about the promotion of him? Has he been his own best promoter, or has there been some additional help given?
I think the press, radio, his public, fans, himself, his friends around him, people, his relations. I think there's no way to pinpoint how much they contributed, his records. The RCA Victor people have done a great deal for this boy. I think they've done more than anyone else to exploit his talents all over the world.
RCA Victor.
Yes. And
did you get him that contract? Or
yes, I did. And the first recording company, the Sun Records in Memphis, Tennessee, I think we should all be grateful at least that they brought his first record out. If they hadn't, perhaps no one would ever found Elvis Presley.
Presley Enterprises is going to cough up what it owes. Are you ready?
Ready.
Gasoline for the first trip to the hayride. $1.25. Unrecouped promotional costs pertaining to souvenir calendars, $100. Collectible trading cards, $100.
Talking, Colonel. I was asking about how you happened to get Presley and Parker together.
Well, we were playing Eddie Arnold on a series of dates. That is, I was with Colonel Parker, and some folks in Memphis called my attention to a great new personality that was developing very rapidly in the Memphis area. I went out and caught him, thought he was terrific. I called him to Colonel Parker. Parker's attention on the Sunday which we played Memphis, he agreed that the possibilities were there based on my judgment, he said, and he went on from there to negotiate with him to play him on a series of personal appearances, later developed into a personal management pack. It's probably been one of the most successful ever.
Well, the other day you were telling me that Tom, when he quotes a figure for Presley's employment, never backs down. Even if it seems high at the time, he stays on. Is that right? Or can you tell me?
That's absolutely true. As a matter of fact, he has that reputation in the business of never reversing a decision.
He never let your beach on me.
Rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham, rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham, rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham, rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham, rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham, rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham, rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham, rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham, rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham, rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham, rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham, rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham, rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham, rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham, rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham, rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham, rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham, rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham, rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham, rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham, rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham, rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham, rock of my soul rum, and the bosom of Abraham.
Pour out my soul.
Your eyes out there. When I look at each and every one of your faces, you know what I see? I see a little bit of Elvis in each and every one of you out there. Let me tell ya, well, Elvis is everywhere. Is everywhere. Elvis is in everything. He's in the Elvis is in cheeseburgers. Elvis is in Nutty Buddies. Elvis is in prescription drugs. Elvis is in go-karts. He's in the young, old, fat, white, black, brown, short, tall, skinny, red, blue, green, all. Elvis in everybody except one person. The evil opposite of Elvis. The anti-Elvis. Let me tell ya. Let me tell ya. Michael J. Fox got no Elvis in him.
Elvis is in Joe Rivers, but he's trying to get the fuck out, man.
Whoa! Elvis is everywhere. Elvis is everything. Elvis is everybody. Elvis is still the king.
Let me ask y'all a question out there. Let me ask y'all a question. Who built the pyramid?
Elvis.
Who built Stonehenge?
Elvis.
Who built Easter Island?
Elvis.
Why they call it vitamin E?
Elvis.
Well, yeah. I was walking down the beach, seeing a couple of guys pushing shopping carts, talking to themselves. Were those guys talking to God? Were they talking to Allah? Were they talking to the CIA? Were they talking to Robert Anton Wilson? They were talking to some of y'all are wondering what's going on down the Bermuda Triangle now, aren't ya? Y'all want to know what's going on down the Bermuda Triangle? I'm gonna tell ya. I'm gonna tell ya. I'm gonna tell ya. Here I tell ya.
Elvis needs books. Elvis needs books. Elvis, 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 Elvis needs books.
Walking down the street just the other day. Walking down the street just the other day. Couple space aliens coming my way. Couple space aliens coming my way. These space aliens didn't look nothing like Romulans, Klingons, Dr. Spock, all that Star Trek bullshit. They didn't look like Close Encounters of the Third These space aliens look like Elvis. Is the perfect being. We're all moving in perfect peace and harmony towards Elvisness. Soon, everything, everywhere will become Elvis. Why do you think they call it evolution anyway? Because it's Elvis-lution. Feel the Elvis power! Yeah. Do you feel the Elvis vibration? Yeah. Everybody gotta sing. Everybody gotta sing. Everybody gotta sing. Like the king. Everybody say, Say it loud. Is coming back, and boy is he pissed. You'll know that Elvis is returning because you're gonna cut on the TV and the evil and insipid John Bon Jovi will be on there.
What?
John Bon Jovi gonna have some little feet hanging out of his butthole.
There you go. There you go.
John Bon Jovi gonna have some booties sticking out of his rectal area. Walter Cronkite gonna be there. Walter Cronkite gonna be there. He's gonna say, "Oh, Mr. Bon Jovi, what's these little feet you got hanging out of your butthole, man?" John Bon Jovi gonna say, John Bon Jovi gonna say, John Bon Jovi gonna say, John Bon Jovi gonna say. Elvis came back and rammed Journey up my fucking ass. Ah!
Elvis is everywhere.
and the joint began to swing. You should have heard the knocked out jailbird sing, let it rock. Everybody let it rock. Everybody in the wholesale block was dancing to the jail out rock. Spider-Man played it in a saxophone. Little Joey blowing on the slide trombone. Drummer for the metal, a crash boom bang. The whole rhythm section was a purple. Nicks. I wanna stick around, I wanna get my kick.